Shut up and sit down.
It's Sunday afternoon in Fremont. It's time for the Seattle After Party! Woo! My guest this week, returning, is Stephen Mackey. He came to us because he had a podcast called That's All I Have to Say About That, but now he's got more to tell us. He has grown. There's more stuff, and we've got him on to tell us all about that. Stephen, hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good.
Your listeners might also remember me because I was the one who spread Disco to Iran.
Oh, that's right. Disco to Iran.
Yes.
Yes. We new disco at that.
Oh, yeah.
It was new disco. Yeah, that's right. We were on there, and that was a fun episode as well. So returning another time.
This is so much fun. I'll always come here. Even on a Thursday, Friday, it doesn't have to be Sunday afternoon, but...
This is true. We do have other times. I sometimes try and set these up, but it all depends on scheduling and when the theater is available. Okay, so before we get started... I like to make sure that you get a chance to let people know where they can find you.
Okay, so if you just go onto YouTube and type in That's All I Have to Say About That and scroll through the many very popular Forrest Gump quotes, you will find my channel. So, yeah, that's how you can remember it. Because I know I listen to this show and I hear some podcast names and I'm like, that sounds really good, but I can't remember what it is. Just think Forrest Gump. He always says, that's all I have to say
and
about
that. I will, if you are going to our website, I'll make sure to put that on the link in the page for this episode specifically.
So, oh, thank you.
What about Twitter, Facebook, any other ways you like people to find you and talk to people?
I am at SEM Mackey. And when you post this on Twitter, you added me on this, so
yes, you can
find me through that, or just look me up on Twitter.
All right, great. Yeah. Yes, all right. And since we are on here, I just want to remind people that you can support this podcast and my other podcast by going to my Patreon page, which is patreon.com/DarylDucharme. My name is spelled DarylDucharme, so patreon.com/DarylDucharme, and there are many different things that you can get by following this podcast, including before the show, behind the scenes sort of bits of audio, which we actually already recorded before this.
Oh, yeah, and I revealed some pretty salacious details, so you might want to...
Yes, very much so.
Get arrested, who knows?
Well, only if the cops support us on Patreon.
Exactly.
And then if you get arrested, I'll know I have some good supporters. Okay, we like to start with a game, and we're going to try and play match game, just you and I. Which is a new thing for us. So, are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. The first sentence, and here we go, is, in library land, it is always quiet. So, when a tree falls in the forest and nobody is there, they wonder, does it make blank? In library land, it is always quiet. So, when a tree falls in the forest and nobody is there, they wonder, does it make blank? All right. Now, while we're coming around to some answers here, I also want to remind you that you can follow us on Twitter by going to @AfterPartyHosts. @AfterPartyHosts, you'll hear stuff from me, you'll hear stuff from other hosts, hopefully, and find out about previous guests that have been on before and what they are doing, as well as, hopefully, other entertainment and action that is happening here in the great Seattle area. All right, now, Stephen, are you ready?
Am I ready? Yes. Let's see if we agree.
All right. I'm actually still writing. Okay. Okay. In library land, it is always quiet. So when a tree falls in the forest and nobody is there, they wonder, does it make?
A good source for books, paper.
A good source for books, but that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, thank
makes
you.
Makes a lot of sense because it's a library.
I know.
And they're thinking, hey, we should make some more paper.
Multiple levels.
Yeah, that actually makes a lot more sense than mine, which mine just said, does it make a great table? Because I was thinking they're very intelligent people. They've read a lot of books.
Mm-hmm. You need a coffee table to put those books on.
Exactly. But I'm going to give that point to you.
Yes.
I'm going to get you win that round. But that's good. I like that. Does it paper for books? Yeah. I hadn't even crossed my mind, even when I was making it up, that sentence. This is the only way I'm cheating, is I made up the sentences originally, but I have to talk at the same time, so we'll go on. All right. Next up. Right now, everybody stares at their phones, but in 15 years, everyone will be staring at blank. Right now, everyone stares at their phones, but in 15 years, everyone will be staring at blank. You know, if you like to stare at your phone, you might have the Facebook app installed or the Instagram app installed. You know, Instagram is owned by Facebook, so it makes sense you might have both. And you can find us both by just looking up Seattle After Party. On Instagram, just go to @SeattleAfterParty. On Facebook, go to facebook.com/SeattleAfterParty, and you can find our page. Like us there, follow us, and find out about our pictures. I'll post pictures from this episode. I'll post pictures from other episodes. I'll post episodes on Facebook. Find out more by following us on Facebook and Instagram. All right. Steven. Right now, everyone stares at their phones.
Yes.
But in 15 years, everyone will be staring at...
backlogs of Donald Trump leaked emails.
Backlogs of Donald Trump leaked emails. In 15 years, we're still going to be worrying about this?
I don't know. I think there's going to be some new stuff.
At the very least, there'll be history majors, but I'm saying everyone... Oh.
I think the Russia investigation might conclude in about 20 or 15 years, so...
The amount of time it'll take. Exactly. Like, we'll be just there where people can finally go, okay, I got it.
Yeah.
I got it now. We've got this. Oh, man, yeah. Oh, geez. I've gotten to the point where I'm like, you know, I want to make sure we're just focusing on policy. I want that investigation to occur, but I really don't want to hear about it
anymore. Exactly.
Like, unless there's some news, like something happened, did we get somewhere, did somebody get... Great, but there's so much non-news happening there anymore that it's like... And by news, I really do mean like the base word of new. I want it to be news. If it's somebody else doing the same thing as other people, it's not really new to me. It's just like, yeah, that's just another person. That's old.
I know. It's so funny because I always see like Wolf Riddlitzer and he's like, breaking news. And at this point, I'm like, we get it. News is broken. All right. Like,
we get it. News is broken. I've never heard that. I love that. I love that. I love that. All right. Mine was, and I didn't write it down, but I was thinking it. Right now, everyone stares
cheating.
At their... Yes. No, everyone stares at... Yours is better. But in 15 years, everyone will be staring at their virtual reality worlds. So they'll just be stuck in glasses looking at their virtual reality worlds. So that's what I was thinking. So, like, because they don't... Why stare at your phones when you're actually staring into virtual reality? It's a way to get pleasant because half of the people will be staring at Donald Trump reports. The other half will be like, I don't want to watch it anymore. I want another world. So they'll be in the virtual world. So you get points for that one, too. Oh. So you're ahead 2-0.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was listening to Eye of the Tiger before I came on, so I was ready to fight. I came to play.
I guess you've got, you've got, what is it? The Eye of the Tiger, the thrill of victory. I don't know what's in the Eye of the Tiger. See, I didn't even listen to it. I'm not ready.
Oh, my God.
That's why.
See, Eye of the Tiger, it's the thrill of the fight. I don't want to make you be sued, so I'm not going to keep singing.
See,
it.
Yeah. All right, I think we covered fair use. I think that's about as far as we can go. But yeah. Yeah, another reason to support us on patreon.com/DarylDucharme, so that if we get enough money, I'll get to a point where I can just buy an umbrella license for music so I can play it without getting scared of getting sued, and to honor the artists who are making the music. So anyways, just some thoughts that I have all the time. Mm. I really do. Like, it's funny because like, there's part of me who thinks about, I want to make money at this, and I would love to make enough money where I can live on this, but I also want to make enough money so that I can actually pay for things. Like, right now, I'm asking a lot of favors.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. It's cool to know who's got your back, but I really think the people who got my back have got my back enough at this point. I want, if they're on the show and they're, like, helping me do it, I want them to get some money for it at least because it's their time and I value it a lot. And then for other things, I just, it would just be so much easier if I could be like, yeah, I like that song. Let's play that song that we're thinking about right now.
Yeah.
And everybody can get into it, and it can be like a, it can really be a true party. I mean, like a party without music is not really a party, if you ask me.
Yeah.
So it's funny that you bring that up, because I think about that all the time.
Really?
I think about how great it, because right now the music I use is some royalty-free music that I got, that all I have to do is I have to say, this music is from bensound.com on every episode that I put out there. Bensound.com. Actually, really good music. I'm really happy with it. But there's also songs that people know that I would like to do. So there's
but
that.
Can't you play like 1920s and 1930s songs at this
point? Could, but I actually want people to be interested in my show too. I don't want them to go, oh, this is that song from back in the day. This is that, those 1920 podcasts, nobody listens to those. That's why they never took off in the 20s, you know, those podcasts in the 20s just never took off.
Yeah.
Partially because there was no one to listen to them. People were like, I have all these MP3 files, but I don't know where they go. Mm-hmm. I also don't know what a computer is. So,
yeah.
So there you go. Anyways. Final round.
Okay.
We are not done. We are not done with the match game. This is the final sentence of the normal round.
Okay.
And you may have heard this in previous episodes, but on the final sentence of the normal round, I always try and relate it to the guest.
Oh,
yes.
Now I'm worried.
So, which means that I am at a disadvantage because you are going to have the most correct answer here. So here it is. Let's start again. I'm a professional podcaster, ladies and gentlemen. Steven started doing comedy for an African business radio show. They liked his blank. Steven started doing comedy for an African business radio show. They liked his blank. And I'm glad you're listening to this because I like you. And if you like us, I would like to make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Because those reviews really do make a difference. The more you review it, the more other people take a look and say, I'm going to give this podcast a chance. Other people you don't know. Always tell people that you do know about this podcast because that's the easiest way and best way for them to find it. But for people you don't know, if you really like it, or even if you really don't like it, so that I can read the reviews and say, oh, I could change that, go and rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play Podcasts, wherever you are, because it really makes a difference. And actually, if you don't like it, I would prefer if you went to seattleafterparty.com and hit our contact page and let me know first before you review, and then afterwards you can review how well I handle that. Okay, so, Steven, okay, I had a really good one, and I wanted to write it down before I get it. Okay. Really good one, really, and by really good one, I mean terrible. So I'm going to start with my own first, because you're going to have the correct one anyways, because it's going to be yours. Steven started doing comedy for an African business radio show. They liked, and I said, the cut of his jib. I kind of broke it, because really the way I wrote it, I would say, they liked his cut of his jib. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't make sense, but I kind of messed up the sentence, but we're pretty loose here. It's improv. So they liked the cut of your jib. I don't know why the Africans would say something so white, but we'll go with it for now.
It's partially broadcast in South Africa, so that's... Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, okay. Steven started doing comedy for an African business radio. They liked his...
Vaguely imperialist economic intuition and research.
Vaguely imperialist.
Yes.
I guess I shouldn't have been so worried.
Yeah. Well, because I'm definitely... I got hired on to do a more American perspective on it. So what I'm doing is really talking about these bonds and exploitative measures and partially how to combat them, but also partially why you could see them as a good thing or how to use them. So I'm definitely not approaching this from a moral perspective as much as from just a sheer economics perspective.
Right. Sheer economics, as opposed to unsheer economics.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah. So we'll definitely talk about that probably right a bit more. But for now, we're going to take a short break. It's the end of the normal round. And then when we come back, we will play the lightning round. Where anything goes. And usually the lightning round takes longer because that makes no sense. And sometimes the after party makes no sense. Thank you very much. Groovy.
All right.
Okay, so here we are back. It's time for the match game lightning round.
And for those listening, the lights were flickering.
So they were flickering. And our invisible ghost audience here was very scared, and they ran out of the room. So I can't even tell if our ghost audience is here anymore because they are invisible.
People are only listening. Let's just lie about the crowd Donald Trump style. Oh. We have the biggest podcast crowd I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah.
Thousands. They're in the streets.
Yeah, I mean, it's out the door. They're kind of rotating in. They're exceedingly nice and polite, but they are just kind of one at a time to just hear a few minutes of this podcast.
We told them not to laugh or clap at the beginning because that'll disrupt the flow. So,
yeah, just keep moving, folks. Keep moving. Yeah. And because of the way our mics are set up, you can't hear the footsteps or the walking. They're just like nodding their heads at how great this is.
Exactly.
All right. All right. All right. Groovy.
Lightning round.
All right. Here we go. That's blank.
Oh.
That's blank. All right. You might be thinking you know what the answer is, but one thing I want to remind you of is that, once again, the Seattle After Party has been nominated for the Seattle A-List Best Local Podcast. Last year, I think we got 7th place. This year, I'd like to go a little bit better, at least in the top 5. So visit best.cityvoter.com/best/Seattle and vote for the Seattle After Party as the best local podcast. I would love to get in the top 5 and tell all your friends to do the same. Share it on your social media. Vote for us. That would be wonderful. All right. Steven.
Yes.
This was
a hard one for me, but that's just great.
That's just great. That sounds like something I would wear on a t-shirt. I have a t-shirt that actually from my friends have a podcast called the Hug Life Podcast. Small plug. And they early on, they had this great shirt that just had in giant green letters, just says, "You're great."
Oh, I love it.
Oh, that shirt is wonderful. I walk around and it just makes people so happy.
Yeah.
I love that. I love it because so many people have snarky shirts like, "I'm better than you. You're a stupid idiot." And I'm like, yeah, I get that. I have days like that too, but like, I really do like to be the guy who they run around, they're having a bad day, or even they're having a semi-okay day, and they see that, and just make them smile, and they're like, what's funny is they're oftentimes, they'll say, "You're great," and I'm like, "You're great," and they're like, "No, you're great," I'm like, "You're great too."
Yeah.
It's okay, we can both be great here. Mm-hmm. So anyways, yeah, that sounds like something I'd say. I was thinking more around the lines of advertising you.
Oh.
I was thinking, that's all I have to say about that. That's all I have to say about that.
I do like that.
Yeah. We all need to get better. Here, this is my little tip for you.
Okay.
Talk about your stuff. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's my business tip for
you. Well, I think you won that round.
Okay, I won that round. So I finally got a point. So you've got 3 points, and I've got 1 point. All right, that's where we're at. Okay. Next of the lightning round. Blank policy. Is when you've got some better on me, because policy is not my thing. Blank policy. All right. So while you're thinking of, hey, what's a good policy to have with a podcast? Well, I think the best policy is for you to make sure that you pick out a podcast app and you subscribe to us so that you never, ever miss an episode of the Seattle After Party. If you don't know anything about that, go to seattleafterparty.com and click on that subscribe button, and it'll tell you about the different podcast apps that are out there and how you can sign up and follow us on that. All right, here we go.
All right.
Steven.
Yes.
Steven.
Looking confident on this one.
Blank policy.
no refund policy.
A no refund policy. And that's right.
This comes with a little bit of a story.
Okay, tell me the story.
Well, because I was setting up some stuff in my set, so I went to the Daiso, and I've been there a few times. It's a Japanese kind of really cheap store.
Yeah, really inexpensive store. Yeah, I've been to the Daiso. And, or I have a friend who always goes there, actually, and buys us stuff.
Yeah. But every time I'm there, they finish checking me out, and as soon as they hand me the receipt, they always say, no refund policy. And I'm like, you should have told me that before I bought it. Like, this is the worst time to be telling me that.
Maybe what they're saying is, we don't have a refund policy. There's no refund policy. We just don't have a policy on it.
Oh, I like it. Yeah.
No refund. Yeah, I think bad English is a terrible thing to make fun of. But I also find that it's funny how small things like that can change the meaning of something. Like rather than, because like when you leave off the important words, like we have a policy of no refunds versus we have no refund policy, those are almost the same sentences, but they really have greatly different meanings.
I didn't think about that. Yeah. I got to try to retain stuff.
You got
to
try that in and go, I heard that you didn't have a refund policy, so I'm back to find out if we can create one for me right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let's set some precedent here. Yeah, let's do this.
Let's do this because, you know, law is all about setting precedent, at least in the United States.
All right, so the bar's pretty high now because we've been talking for a little while. Yeah. You've had some time to think.
Yeah, I had no shirt, no shoes, no service policy.
God, that's a good one. Yeah. I think you might have got this one too.
I don't know. I think we'll hold that to like a midpoint there, and we'll say to see if that makes a difference. I'll put that in the middle.
Right.
But you know, the reason for that is I actually just came from a trip, and it was a long road trip, and every gas station you walk into has that sign, like no shirt, no shoes, no service, kind of like policy. And I sometimes I look at that, and I'm like, how stringent is that policy? And and how old is that rule? Like, people bring it up, like, I think nowadays if you walked in and you weren't wearing shoes, I don't think anybody would care.
The one that gets me about that is pants doesn't come up at any point.
That's true.
And I really feel like I'd rather see a shirtless guy than a pantless guy any day.
Put on shoes, put on a shirt, take off your pants, you know, like in a different order probably, because it's hard to take off your pants while your shoes are on. But yeah, that's a good point. I that is interesting, though. You know, there's a bunch of stuff about shoes, too. And Seattle is interesting. I remember we live in a completely different time than when I grew up, because I remember when Microsoft, there was stories here in Seattle about how, Microsoft lets people go to work in tennis shoes.
Oh,
yeah, and
controversial.
As a business, people going there in tennis shoes and not like business wear. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, thinking about that now, it's just so quaint.
Yeah.
Because, like, the stuff we wear at, I mean, especially at high-tech places now, it's like, oh, my God, people could be those people that we used to be afraid of with no shirt, no shoes. I mean, they're, bedraggled. They got bedhead. They got shirts that are all manner of things. And it's just because, like, I'm going to code, and I don't really care about my personal, well-being. I want to, you know, like, sometimes it's like they're so into the code that they do it. And then right next to it, you've got the people who are, like, the salespeople or something in the office, and they're, like, dressed to sell.
Exactly.
Like two different people all working for the same company. Interesting. All right. Let's keep going, because this is the lightning round, which lightning you would think would go quick, but it doesn't. All right. The next one. Business blank. Business blank. Hey, folks. This is me. This is Daryl. I'm going to come at you with a little bit of business. Hey. I've said it already, but I'm really trying to push it right now. Could you please go to patreon.com/DarylDucharme? If you don't feel that you want to give any money, that's fine. What I would really like you to do, just share it with everybody. You're listening to this podcast now. I hope that means you like it. If you do, share this and say, hey, this person has a pretty good podcast. Why don't you check out their Patreon? And if you're willing to support it, support it. You can support it for $1 a month. I will do that, and you'll get behind-the-scenes footage for $1 a month. You do $3 a month, I will follow you on social media.
Oh.
Give me $10 a month, I will say your name at the beginning of every episode of every podcast I do. Currently, I do two. My wife and I are working on a third. So these are things your name can go out there for just 10 bucks a month. I've got stuff at higher prices too, and you can look at that on how you can actually maybe get more involved in the shows. So take a look at patreon.com/DarylDeCharme. I would really appreciate it. All right.
All right.
Business. Steven. Business. Actually, I'm going to go first.
Okay.
Because I think yours will be better.
Oh, I don't
but,
know.
But I'm a big fan of Flight of the Conchords. Love that show.
Yeah.
And they had a song called Business Time.
Oh.
Which was really good. Because, you know, when I'm down to my socks, we were talking about no shirt, no shoes, no service, but like when I'm down to my socks, it's time for business. That's why they call them business socks, is business time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where I was. Business time. All right.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. Steven, business.
Ooh, I just was doing a callback. Business casual.
Ooh, business casual. That was a better callback, I think. I think that was good. I think I'm gonna give that one to you there.
Okay,
so
wow.
So it's 4-2 now. We'll call that 4-2 now because I'll give myself the last one, you this one.
Okay.
I think that's pretty good. 4-2, really good. You're still in lead. I have a chance to tie it up. We've got a couple more rounds unless the time and it takes too long because the lightning round, surprisingly, is longer than other ones. Okay.
Okay.
Now, I want to remind you, earlier, I said it's okay to talk about yourself.
Yes.
Okay. All right. This one, next one, blank that. Blank that.
I can only think of one thing, and it's you'd have to bleep it out.
But, all right. All right. So, while you're thinking, hey, Daryl, why do you bleep all that stuff out? And I'm going to say it's because we do this in conjunction with CSD Seattle, which does comedy sports, which is a show for everybody. And if you would like to see a comedy show that's good for everybody, for your frat mates and your grandma and your church, you can come out to see the CSD Seattle do comedy sports. If you want stuff that should be bleeped out, come to their blue show on the first Saturday of the month. For more information, visit CSDSeattle.com. Yeah, just check it out. We get a lot of support from CSD Seattle to do this podcast, so I want to make sure they get their props there. So yeah, bleeping stuff out. You decide for yourself what you would like bleeped out. All right. Blank that. Steven.
Yes, self-promotion time. That's all I have to say about that. But I got in your head.
You did get in my head. You did.
Now that's all you're hearing, right?
Sort of. I mean, like, all I was thinking now is like, well, I know what he would probably bleep out, which then made me think in that kind of vein. But I didn't want to say something that would be bleeped out. I just was thinking like, oh, what would a kid say? Because we went to families. So then I thought, what's that?
What's that?
Because, ooh, you know, kids always ask this question. What's that? Yeah, that's where I was. I was at what's that. So, all right. Yeah, so I give that point to you.
What? All right.
So, yeah. So I'm going to lose. Yours was better.
That was a tough one.
Yeah, it was a tough one. I think yours was better because you should visit his podcast and or his YouTube channel. That's all I have to say about that. Once he's, like you said, sort through all the Forrest Gump quotes about it until you find his podcast, or just go to seattleafterparty.com/episode/whatever the URL for this episode is. And
and if you go on iTunes, Stitcher, or any of those and type in That's All I Have to Say About That, you will get two shows. One of them is my show. It focuses more on American policy and interesting things going on around the world that I think you should know. Like, before I did one on marijuana and how it actually is pretty effective at combating the opioid crisis. Mm-hmm. But the one I just released, or I'm about to release, is about the Sunni-Shia divide and what the difference ideologically is. So it definitely is more international. And the second show you'll get has a little ABR in the corner. A little ABR watermark, and that's the Africa Business Radio one. And if you're interested in that one, it's definitely more about specifically what the U.S. is doing in Africa. I have some about like African African Command and the U.S. AFRICOM, how we set that up. I have some about China loaning money there and how the specific ways they do it benefit China versus how the U.S. lends money there. So it's a lot more technical on Africa, but it's still really comedic at the same time.
Well, you know, with that said, there's one more round of the lightning round.
Oh.
And I think you did it. It's a great segue because it is foreign blank. Foreign blank. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the last round of the lightning round. But then we're going to go into the discussion and we're going to talk with Stephen about all sorts of stuff. But if you would like to hear what we talked about before, make sure to visit us on SeattleAfterParty.com and look up his previous shows where he was a guest talking about his podcast or where he was guesting with us playing the game of Conspire and we found out about New Disco. Both of those are available going to SeattleAfterParty.com. All right. Foreign blank. I would like you to go first.
All right.
Foreign.
I took an interesting liberty on this one that I think could bring me the victory.
Well, this is the U.S. It is the land of liberty.
Yes. Four insane people in a room talking.
Oh! You went with the sounds. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. I. Ooh, wow. Four insane people in a room talking.
Yes.
Wow. Which is probably what you think's going on because there's only two of us, Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not four.
And this huge revolving audience.
Yep, they're not talking.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but two of them might be insane.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I, being the former professional wrestler that I am, said foreign object. Foreign object, which may make its way into the ring, which is a nice way of saying a item that will be used as a weapon in the ring. Yes, that's always fun. So.
Speaking of, I just have to ask I forgot you were a wrestler.
Yeah.
Donald Trump posted that video of him taking down CNN. Was it a good wrestling? Is he a good wrestler?
No.
Did he have good form?
One of the things that I always find funny about Donald Trump is he is, you know, he's been involved with WWE for a long time. Before they were WWE, when they were WWF, he's been along with them, and he's done some stuff with them. But he is terrible in the ring. Like, there was a time where Stone Cold Steve Austin stunned him, and he takes it like a chump. It looks awful.
Mm-hmm.
And that, he just looks... He looks like somebody who doesn't know what they're doing in the ring. It looks really bad. And... You know, because it's Donald Trump and because it's the WWE and they know how to produce stuff, it's going to look decent enough to watch. And you're going to, you know, the whole thing where you're going to be like, okay, you know, I'm going to let that slide because it's Donald Trump. You don't expect him to be.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you see that stuff and that he didn't create that, somebody else created that. But when you see that stuff, it's kind of like.
You didn't like the hostile takeover? I thought that was kind of hilarious.
Yeah. From a wrestling thing, I'm just like, oh, God, it's so bad. I mean, yeah. I get it. Donald Trump has been in the ring. He's done some stuff. But it's just, he looks, he's so awkward.
He takes that guy down, though, I feel like, right?
Well, yeah,
okay, sorry. I'm a little skinny dude telling you about wrestling.
The person who does it, like, makes him look better than he is. But, like, I look at it and I see, like the other person goes down, so, like, it looks like he takes him down really hard, but he doesn't do his job of making himself look good.
Yeah. which is a first.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's all I'm saying.
That's all you have to say about that?
That's all I have to say about that.
Okay.
All right, we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to talk with Stephen about African Business Radio more. We're going to talk to him about his YouTube channel. We're going to talk to him about something he's really excited about, and I will let you know what that is after this short break. All right, welcome back to the Seattle After Party with our guest, Stephen Mackey of the various YouTube and podcast channels. That's all I have to say about that. Stephen,
Yes.
When last we spoke with you about your endeavors, you were just doing the audio podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have both jumped to YouTube and now also doing something with African Business Radio. So how did those things start happening?
Well, I created the first, my goal was to create 10 episodes of the podcast just to see if it was going to be like piano, something that I thought would be some fun to do and abandoned very quickly.
Okay.
But I was able to create 10 episodes and I saw that I was really enjoying it. So that's when I knew I could start investing the capital into buying some real camera equipment and some real microphones and really turn this into a potentially monetizational embark.
You could embark on
embark on a potentially monetizational strategy. And I know I spoke terribly right there, but this is improv. So yes, and after I started releasing this stuff, a person named Soji found it through the recording studio I used to produce, and he was starting up a African Business Radio channel, a digital radio show, and it broadcasts out of Nairobi and South Africa, and it's also a podcast. And so he contacted me and just had me make a few episodes. I made it for him, and it worked. It was a good click with the channel.
That's amazing, and that's cool, because that's what I love that too, because that's kind of like the community
exactly.
You were in the, mm-hmm. that recording it, and that's how you got connected. I mean, that's totally what I'm all about building, is this sense of community that helps each other out. And you know, that's, if you're listening at home and you want to help out this community, go see stuff, download people's stuff, guests on this podcast and other local people in the Seattle area, or if you don't live in Seattle, whoever's in your area, this would be great. Yeah. So yeah, that's I love that kind of story.
But the weird thing is, if you had told me a year ago, like, what continent do you probably know the least about?
Right.
I probably would have known more about Antarctica than
I was
Africa.
Just gonna. I was gonna call you out on that. I was gonna like, wait a minute. Do you think you know more about Antarctica than you know about Africa? I was gonna call you out.
Yeah.
So you caught me on that one. You got me about that one.
Although
yeah.
Australia, I don't know. That's another one where yeah. Jim Jefferies is pretty much my only.
That's your only connection there? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell us about the... we want you to do a political show about the policy issues of the emperor penguins versus the chinstrap penguins.
Ooh, all right. I'll have it in a week.
This is your...
I have your email. I'll get it to you in a week.
This is the end. If you actually do that, I will post that somewhere for sure. Okay. I will like post it like, I don't know. Maybe I'll put it as a special thing for Patreon subscribers. That would be hilarious. The policy issues between the two species. That's hilarious.
I'm sure only one got a Morgan Freeman documentary, so that probably... infuriated the other side.
Yeah, but you know, they were both represented in Happy Feet, so
okay. Yeah,
you know, like Robin Williams was on one side, you know. Well, that's where we go for that. So that's how you got into that. And how many episodes have you done for African Business Radio?
For African Business Radio, I'm working on my fifth right now.
Okay.
And it's about the turmoil in the Gulf and how it's going to affect oil prices and how that affects African debt and African sovereignty as a whole, and how we can take it and how America would be looking to take advantage of that and what you should look out for. And so yeah, this is my fifth one and I am learning so much about debt. It's ridiculous.
Okay.
Yeah.
You thought you knew a lot after college, but
yeah.
You learn about country debt.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you do something? Do you do something every week for them?
I do something every week for my podcast now and for them.
Oh, nice. So you're really doing two things. And now YouTube. You mentioned you decided to buy the video. So is the video the same thing that they see the audio of, or is it different?
Well, right now, it's the same thing that they see the audio of, but I'm trying to branch out. I just got an even newer microphone, and so I'm hoping that I have the time to produce the audio separate from the video and kind of bring it back and bump up the quality a little bit. But I'm still learning about some of the audio editing.
Right. Well, you know, I could definitely try and, you know, ask me questions. What's funny about me is the degree I actually have, you know, I'm a programmer by trade, but the degree I actually have is in audio production.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, yeah, so I do know some stuff. The trick is, how much do I remember from school? Because that was 20 years ago when I graduated.
Well, you should see he's got this, like... I don't even know how to describe it, but it looks like some sort of weapon from a Bond film where they've got like 50 different switches on it and it's sitting right in front of him. I've seen him toggle it a few times today. Let me know if I sound better at certain times.
Yeah.
So yeah, you've obviously kept up some stuff.
Yeah, I you know, it's one of those things where I sometimes forget how much I know that the average bear doesn't know.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things in life, like, we learn. I always think about that. It's like, you know, we become experts at something, or at least very intelligent at a thing, and we surround ourselves with people who also know this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So then we go into the normal world, and we act like everybody should know it. It's one of the reasons why I hate the term common sense, because common sense really is about, like, what do we commonly know?
Yeah.
And for the most part, we don't commonly know. Your group may commonly know this, but not everybody. It's not like an innate knowledge that we're born with. It's like, this group knows it. I hate the term common sense, because it's first of all, it's always said pejoratively. Second of all, we're not thinking behind it enough. But yeah, like, when it comes to this, to audio stuff, I forget how much I just know about doing it. Because, like, I was in the music business for a while. I have a degree in audio production, and so I actually did learn about stuff. So what this is not a Bond villain weapon. It's just a mixing board.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very common item. let me talk down to you a little bit after I told you.
Is it a common sense?
No, it's just common sense what this is, man. No, but it's, you know, like, the fact that I can think about, oh, all I need to do this thing is X. You know, all I need to make this easy, if I can find a mixing board that I can plug into my tablet, which is what I do here, then I can record and be more portable. Like, it's easy for me to just think that, whereas somebody else would, like, I don't know what I need to do. So, yeah, feel free. Let me know if there's a question you have, and I'll see what I can do about, like, helping you out, get some ideas about how to improve audio quality, whether, you know, like, here's how you do, and here's, you know, some of it is a little bit, like, you might want to learn some, what's the word I'm looking for? Some of the... you just want to, like, learn the theory behind a certain topic. Like, one thing that's common in audio production is compression. And by learning the theory behind that, you can really improve your sound quality by using it properly. Used improperly, it can a lot of times make the sound actually worse, and you won't realize what you're doing. So, you know, stuff like that. You know, I can help you find either the resources or just say, hey, do this.
I remember I tried once using, it's the Snowball mic. Do you know the Snowball mic?
Yeah,
that's what I'm using. And I had it kind of far away. I'm like, all right, I'll just record while I'm filming. And I sounded like a robot on a cell phone going through a tunnel. Not a good combination.
I think there's an episode of the Seattle After Party back when I was recording with a computer that was in our sound booth here at the theater. And I had switched using a different computer, and I didn't set it up properly, and it recorded with the internal mic on the computer. Oh my God, trying to salvage that audio was so hard. It sounds so terrible, even with what I could get. But I didn't realize, I'm like, why does this sound so terrible? What's wrong with the mic? And it was just because it was just getting all the audio from in there. And then once I figured that out, everything was fine. But yeah, I mean, we all make mistakes, so that's okay. You learn. Yeah. I want to get to this because first of all, I teased it before our last break. But second of all, I think this is the thing you, in our before the show, we were talking, and you were really excited about this. Tell me, you've got an interview that you're doing. Is this for your podcast that you're doing, or
it's
is it something
a combination
different?
Actually, because I think he could shed some interesting light on a few different issues that have happened somewhat recently that I'm kind of curious about. So,
what is the thing?
Yeah, what is
really?
The thing? All right, right after this. No, I'm kidding.
Right after this break. Yeah. No more breaks. Let's
okay,
go
yeah.
right to it.
But I need a break. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. So I am going to, on the 13th, be sitting down with New York Times bestselling author John Perkins, who wrote The Confessions of an Economic Hitman. And I loved that book when I was growing up. It really, when I was studying at NYU.
When you say you were growing up, hold on.
Okay, yeah,
like,
no. When,
like,
when I was growing up.
I was reading Dr. Seuss. Are you talking that young? Or like, when you're growing up?
Yeah, you were reading Dr. Seuss and, oh, the places you'll go, and then in debt, and then exploit.
Right. So, when you say that, like, when you were in college, when you were in high school?
Oh, no, when I was in high school, I just found this book, and I thought it sounded really interesting, so I bought it, and...
Confessions of an Economic Hitman by John Perkins. Okay.
Oh, yeah, and I loved it. It's really about the economics behind indebting countries and really getting them to do your bidding once they're indebted to you.
Oh, jeez.
And so... I'm going to have him on this show, and...
Especially with all you're doing with... Is it related to the African...
Oh, it totally is. Yeah, I'm officially interviewing him for that. But I want to ask him some questions about the Puerto Rican bankruptcy that recently happened as well.
Oh.
Because I feel like, just after reading the book, and I'm probably going to be wrong, so skip this part if it's coming out after the 13th, and just listen to that. But I feel like allowing a country to declare some form of bankruptcy, I know they implemented austerity measures, but it seemed like that would be really bad for a government that they owe money to. So I'm wondering, and there's also this huge question of debt relief in the 90s in Africa, where Africa had all their debt relieved, and I'm wondering if that was just terrible for America, because did we just lose a lot of control when we helped relieve their debt? And we were a major player in that, so why would we do that? And I'm really excited to ask him these questions.
I think about that completely differently than you. I'll tell you that right now. Because I don't think from an economic standpoint. I'm trying to educate myself in economics, but it's super slow. It's not my bag. But I'm trying to. I'm like reading this great book. It's called Capitalism for the People or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's a really cool book.
It sounds super capitalistic.
Well, it's interesting.
Anything with for the people at the end of it.
But it's not what you think, no matter what your approach to it. It was really surprised me. But like, I always think about stuff like from like the people, like I think, I think you're right. Like, what do the countries get? But I like think of like, well, there's gotta be something where when you have a country that's so much in debt that it actually creates such unrest in this country, relieving their debt and forgiving their debt has to actually, I mean, it benefits the world by not creating this pocket of, like, I mean, we've got problems with terrorism and stuff because people feel like they're burdened by the outside, the West and stuff,
yeah,
or whoever. And I think to myself, yeah, but if we actually help these people out rather than just keep saying, but you owe us, but you owe us, but you owe us, that gives us a better opportunity not to create this unrest that then we have to spend more money to deal with. So it's like economically, it still has certain viabilities.
But
so I would wonder about that question.
That brings up another kind of question, or not a question, but another kind of point that's a positive and negative. Because stability is really good if you're trying to bump up your exports.
Uh-huh.
And that's a major thing that China's doing in Africa, actually, because they're doing all their loans through an export-import bank, which means that if you take out a loan, you have to hire a Chinese company to build whatever you're making. And they use all Chinese labor. So that's great for fighting their unemployment. But if you're more interested in natural resources, stability might not be the best answer, because an unstable country that owes you a lot of money will not be able to stand up for itself. So you can really go in there and take what you want, and they won't be able to fight because they owe you money and they are not stable enough.
Wow. Yeah, I still think very differently from you. Like the benefit of being able to take what I want, you know, from people, mm-hmm. just doesn't really hit me too well.
This is why I wrote that I am vaguely imperialist economic intuition and research.
It's funny though, no, because you totally approach it from a very like, I'm not making a judgment call right or wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying what works, what doesn't.
Exactly.
Like it's like you get to make the judgment call at the end. Other people, you know, like I remember I've studied a little bit of game theory, and game theory talks mm-hmm. about like you can't like just say everything is dollars because not everybody measures their success mm-hmm. and win. So that's why they use oodles, or I think it's oodles or something like that. Or,
a utility.
Yeah, oodles, yeah.
Expected
yeah.
utility,
yeah. So that's like, it's kind of like this generic item that like, mm-hmm. this is worth this to me, this is worth this to me. So like, yeah, I have to remind people that you may disagree with what he's saying, but he's not making a judgment call one or he's just saying this is the benefits you get. You have to decide whether or not you are going to take this or not.
And I think perspectives is pretty important on a lot of issues. Like I feel like one thing that the news media is not covering both perspectives of, and I'm by far on the side of keeping Obamacare, but there definitely is an argument that you're not hearing very much for the other side, which is that people should have the right to be able to pick whether they get health insurance or not. And currently, they get fined if they don't have it. And so it's kind of a government mandate. And so while I disagree with it, you will hear that the 22 million people getting kicked off, Paul Ryan said, and I'm not going to say he's right or wrong, but what he says is that a majority of those, it's not because they can't afford it, it's because they don't want it. And what they would say is the difference between health insurance and car insurance, which is mandatory for everyone to have, is that car insurance is for paying other people when you wreck their automobiles against yours. But health insurance is specifically for you. So you should have a right to be able to pick whether you want to put your money into this or invest it in food or a new iPhone, as Chaffetz would say.
Oh.
So it's more of a freedom argument than an evil argument.
Fuck that, you know.
Like, no, I'm with you, but I'm just saying that is why some people still support this.
No, I get that. I think you know, healthcare is also a very interesting thing.
And also, the rich need more money because good for. I'm kidding. I know everyone's about to skip, so don't, please.
This is my podcast. Exactly. I'm just saying stuff. I'm not making judgment calls. Yeah. No. I mean, healthcare is a very interesting thing because we do think about it in, It's a very strong and very, very emotional things, and I have very strong reasons for my beliefs as well as, but I do think it's important where we can without, you know, like, and healthcare is a really good one, actually, because you can feel extremely safe in, like,
mm-hmm.
confronting someone with your ideas, whereas in some other areas that are somewhat political but more about life, you can feel very unsafe doing
it. Yeah.
Healthcare is a place you can feel really safe and you can confront and say like, well, what about this? And you can still feel safe with that mm-hmm. conversation.
Yeah.
And so I do think,
oh, I don't know. I mean, this is really going to kill people. So
no,
if
yeah,
it passes,
but,
so
yeah, but not the conversation. What's going to kill people and not is not having the insurance and not being taken care of. And as a community, what benefits do we get of other people being taken care of mm-hmm. as a society? Does it help our economy? These are good questions like that we really need to look at. How much do we pay because we're not paying for other people's insurance? You know, things like that. Why is it so expensive? Why do hospitals raise their rates? Is it because a lot of people don't pay their bills because they go to the emergency room and they've waited too long? Maybe. And what is that cost? I'm going to say yes, because I know the answer to that one because I have relations, as in my mom is the CEO of a hospital. But
wait, well, you're going to say yes to what?
I'm going to say yes. Part of the reason a lot of the costs of hospitals in the United States are so mm-hmm. high is because they're trying to cover the cost of the people who don't have insurance, who go to the emergency room and get taken care of after they've let themselves go, because those are much higher costs.
I actually, interestingly enough, because I definitely take your primary source into consideration in this, but there was another primary source that said the exact opposite of that.
Mm.
And this is going to show how messed up our healthcare system was recently, mm-hmm. but, and I'm not sure if you heard about this or not, in Portland, there was kind of an experiment set up, but not really. Portland had this healthcare system that was really comprehensive, but they couldn't afford to give it to everybody, so they had a lottery as to who gets it and who doesn't, because U.S. healthcare is amazing, and we're not entering Hunger Games territory. But
no, we're not. Not
but
at all.
The fact that they had this this lottery gave them a randomized sample of people who gained insurance and people who didn't. And the difference in habits between those two groups did not end up costing the state a different amount of money. They ended up costing the same amount of money, whether they had insurance or not.
That's interesting on some levels. And I wonder, that's a single test. And
yeah,
as a person who tries to...
You will hear Republicans use
that. Oh, no. And that's
all
and that,
of the time.
But like as from a scientific perspective, I'm like, okay, we've got this data.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try and repeat the data, take a look at it, and let's try and see if it's, what if we tweak some number? You know, like, mm-hmm. I think that's good to know and see, like, the realities. And does it change things that you're currently living in the United States? So, like, your feeling of changing your habits
mm-hmm.
versus, you know, I'm always speaking not necessarily towards the American Care Act. I'm thinking not Obamacare, whatever mm-hmm. you call it.
The Affordable Care Act.
Affordable Care Act,
yes.
Yeah. But I'm really more like single payer. Mm-hmm. Let's just go down that path. That's usually where
I know. And the annoying thing is, I looked it up recently and I'm like, Russia is single payer. I'm like, darn it, Donald, why you're colluding with them? Couldn't you have just asked them about that?
Yeah. you finally realized that healthcare is actually really complicated.
Yeah.
Mostly because we've made it very complicated. Why don't you ask your buddy Putin?
Yeah,
say
exactly.
How you doing healthcare over there in your single payer system? What's that like? So, you know, and I think, you know, that's a great system where we can look at the world that has a lot of different versions of single mm-hmm. payer and find the one that's right for the United States. Because we do have a certain culture of meritocracy, which I get, but we also have a certain culture of, you know, being a country that tries to, you know, like... Maybe I'm different. We have different cultures about America, and I think the one that gets in the way a lot of this specific area is like the meritocracy area, which I mm-hmm. think is really good for America in a lot of places. But there's a lot of places where I think like when we're trying to be like, I think of government as this is like the community trying to take care of the community.
Yeah,
we're not a government of the kings and queens. We're a government of the people, by the people, for the people. Let's act like it and let's be the people trying to take care of the people rather than be the rich trying to take care of the rich, which mm-hmm. they're doing a good job.
I honestly will give you one thing, like Republican leadership. That's true leadership right there. Like, I can imagine no better, smarter thing than being able to convince the poor to want to support the rich. It's, no one's ever been able to do it like this before. I mean, it's objectively bad, most people would say, but you gotta be pretty smart to be able to get that system set up. Like,
it's pretty good. They've really studied their sociology and their psychology.
Yeah, I'm just imagining all those people in sociologist classes and anthropology classes.
Oh yeah, anthropology, like those kind of things. Like what works to, you know, and I get it. There's lots of belief systems that mm-hmm. aren't necessarily a scientific. Like we know this to be a truth. We have a lot of good ideas, so you know, like I'm willing to give stuff a shot as long as I think it's in line with being what you know, like what I think is like important. I know like different people have different ideas of what the government is anyways. And I think different governments have different things, but I think the government of the United States, I always think back to when I grew up, because I think about like, why do I believe what I believe, you know, like about the U.S. government? Because obviously other people don't believe this, you know, other people believe completely different things. Like, you know, I just remember growing up and listening to Schoolhouse Rocks, and they had this whole series of stuff on like, you know, and it's not just I'm just a Bill, but like things about like the Great American Melting Pot. So when I hear stuff about immigration, I'm like always thinking about that song in the back of my head, going like, but we're a melting pot, but that's what makes America America. What are we talking about? I grew up with this stuff. This is ingrained in my head, you know, like, so like, you know, like I think about it, like we're about we the people in order to form a more perfect union. Like I'm singing it to myself, you know, so I know it's like Schoolhouse Rock really like made me think like that's the kind of government we are. And that's what makes America exceptional. Agree? Agree? No?
No.
You know, like so like it's funny because like I get it. I have an opinion. And it's not necessarily but like, you know, like so I try and get to the point like. We're always going to decide, like, what is the soul of the United States of America? And it's a constant discussion that's always going to go on. It's never going to stop. We're never going to go, we got it. That's not the idea.
Got it.
You know, even you hear other people talk about America, other countries, and they're like, yeah, it's kind of an experiment. It's like, so far, it's you know, it's a neat experiment, and everybody's, like, rooting for you. You know, like, but don't fuck it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Now I gotta.
Oh my God,
you are making me curse.
I know you are passionate.
I am passionate about this.
I really struck a chord.
You did. So John Perkins, let's go back. Yeah. We were on a tangent for like 10 minutes here. Well,
good tangent though. That was
fun. John Perkins. So like you're gonna interview him on Thursday.
On Thursday.
So when can people expect to hear that then? Will you be releasing that right away? Or
I'm going to be releasing the Puerto Rico piece probably right away when I ask him some questions about the Puerto Rican bankruptcy and what we can expect. And I don't know what his answer will be. I'm not sure because he's been out of being an economic hitman for I think a decade and a half, so he might not have the best answer. I want to set the bar reasonable, but I'm going to release his responses to the Puerto Rican situation probably on the 14th. And as far as Africa Business Radio goes, it's going to be released in 15-minute installments. Ooh. Because I have 15 minutes every day. It plays on loop, so I'm... 15 minutes once a week. So yeah, I'm going to be releasing it in 15 minute cuts there.
So how long are you going to be interviewing him for? Like how long do you think the interview is going to go?
Honestly, this is the first interview I've ever been the interviewer for. So I should be asking you that question. I'm thinking it's going to be like a traditional Seattle after party length of time, except maybe no fill in the blank at the beginning. No. But
okay, all right, John, we're gonna start with some match game. I learned this from another podcast. All right, so we're gonna start. I like to teach you an example round. Alice went down another strange hole. You know, like Alice found another strange hole. And he's gonna be like, "What am I getting myself into? Why did I agree to this conversation?"
Debt blank.
Debt blank. Debt lift shrimp. Yeah, I don't know. Exactly. You know, like he's like, I'm into basketball. You know.
But yeah, so I'm really looking forward to that because, and this is actually a true story. Of course it is. I'm sorry. I should not have to say that. But
I roll the credits after the end, and at the end it says all people in the story are fictional. Any relation to real people is completely coincidence.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I love this guy in high school. I read his book, and I actually went to a book signing of his about 2 years ago, and I talked to him about Brazil because Brazil was going through like throwing out their leaders at the time, and his advice to me was like just try to speak to the world and try to use your economic training to help the world and teach people how to improve the world and stop this exploitation. And he actually signed my book like start helping to change the, and then pointed an arrow to the globe. Oh. And so, yeah, and that really spoke to me, and I can't wait to show him my book and be like...
Do you think he remembers that? Have you already told him? Or are you going to show him it, and it's going to be like, this is like... Part of what I'm doing now is because of you.
Well, I actually didn't talk to him directly yet. I've been talking to his secretary, but she knows the entire backstory. Oh, not sure cool. if that matters.
That's cool. That's cool though, because that's like that's a really like you know when you emailed me, you were talking about like advice from people who know. Like that would be totally a place like I would think you'd want to start from. Like you inspired me, and here's why you inspired me, and then you can get into like. Getting him to speak to like, oh, that's great. You know, I really do believe in X, or I probably shouldn't have told you that. Whatever direction he goes,
I'm just honestly hoping he just goes full sociopath on me. Like, here is how you destroy this country from the inside.
Yeah, no, that's cool. So, like, is what he talks about very similar to like, you know, like the whole Freakonomics thing? Like,
Actually,
I know they talk a lot about like. Like the whole destabilizing some system and then like taking advantage of it
it's
in those.
It's really different with him because he was the economic hitman. He went to Jakarta, got them to take out massive government loans and presented the projects to their leaders and then used that to, I think, build U.S. military bases, if I remember correctly. Then he went to Saudi Arabia. There's a really interesting part where he helped increase the... wealth gap a lot. He made the poor get poorer, the rich get richer, and by doing that he was able to get some really favorable oil contracts out of it. And there's a whole like semi-prostitution side story going on there, so it's pretty interesting, where he was bringing over blonde women to help encourage the princes to sign contracts. And he went, most interestingly, he went to Ecuador to work, or not Yeah, Ecuador, to work with some of the dictators there and build a dam. And there was some very suspicious stuff that happened. A lot of planes crashed and killed some leaders who did not want to work with the U.S. So he was really in the thick of it. And so I can't wait to ask him some of the questions about his experience. So yeah, it's not really like Freakonomics because it's a nonfiction story as he wrote it. And he has the WikiLeaks to back up the specifics of what his story is.
Oh, wow. That's really some interesting stuff. What you said almost made me think, I want you to ask him, like, about what economic hitmen are currently doing to our country. Because, like, some of the stuff you're sounding like, I'm like, that's kind of going on in the United States. So I really want to say, like, what do you think, or do you think there's some economic hitmen from other countries doing here? And, like, because I'm sure there are.
Yeah.
It's like one of those things like spies. It's like... Well, yeah, they're spies, but like, how big of a deal is it? You know, like that kind of thing. So I would love to like listen to that on your podcast. And one thing I am going to for sure do too, since he's got a book, and kind of make a way that you can support. A lot of people may have noticed the Seattle After Party has links to Amazon.com on all the pages. I'm also going to put a link to this book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, on Amazon on the page here. If you're interested in this book, please ask you to click through the link I'm going to put on there, because that's going to be, we've got a little Amazon Associates account. We can get a few pennies back for every book.
Yeah, you work at Amazon, right?
I don't talk about it too much because...
Oh, whoops. Sorry.
No. It's fine. I work for Amazon. I don't answer questions about Amazon because that's not my job. and I have my own opinions, and I like to talk about my own opinions because I'm an attention whore. Okay. anyways, so yeah. So if you are interested... purchase through the Amazon links and we'll get a few pennies. And if enough of you are interested in buying this book or any book, anything you're going to purchase through Amazon, click through these links and then buy something and we'll get something back for it. So far, I haven't gotten anybody to purchase through anything, but I also haven't told people about it.
Yeah.
So here's me telling you. I feel like I'm the end of like some romantic comedy. I'm just a boy asking a girl to click on his Amazon link. So I watched a lot of romantic comedies growing up. Some of my favorite movies are romantic comedies. Anyways, So yeah, so I'm going to plug that too. So to give people a chance to both support this podcast, support the author, and find out about more, because they're going to want to listen to your podcast and probably read up on the stuff you've talked about, because that sounds extremely interesting. I'm like, I want to read it now. It sounds really cool. Like just stuff you don't know is going on.
Oh yeah, like, and it's prevalent right now.
Yeah,
and there's, especially in some developing countries, it's, you're shaking your head like,
no,
we're
no,
not
no.
benefiting from it in a major way.
No, I know I am, and I really do know that I am, but I'm also, I've gotten to a point in an age in my life, and I'm totally privileged, and it's fine, that, like, I just don't like that I am the cause of all, you know, of pain for other people. Mm-hmm. Like, I, you know, like, there, sometimes we get, like, people become so abstract that they're not people anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. I like, you know, like, we talk about how monstrous, like, the Romans and stuff were back in the day, because they're just, like, you know, terrible, like, you know, they come into a place. But, like, at the same time, because of the only ways they had to do war, they had to do it face-to-face. So a human being you were dealing with and at war with was still, like, you had to deal with the humanity of it. Mm-hmm. Still. And that's probably one of the reasons, like, the Romans still, at the same time, still, like, said, you know what, we took you over, but your culture, we're going to let you do it.
Yeah.
You know, like, probably, yeah, that probably has a lot to say for it, like, because it benefits us to have you in our,
mm-hmm,
our,
have you paying taxes.
Yeah, have you paying taxes. But, you know, we also want you to be happy. Like, mm-hmm, I think there's something to that, whereas,
that's, like, actually, like, the Chinese foreign policy method.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I don't think it's totally wrong, but I just want to get away from humans as this abstract concept that, mm-hmm, we can extract from. I want to remember that humans are humans and start from there. That's my methodology. It's not necessarily, like, that's where I want to make my decisions from as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I get it. Other people aren't going to do that, but that's where I start from. That's why I'm shaking my head.
Yeah.
I have strong opinions, yeah, on this one.
But I think it's kind of funny too, actually, because I'm doing research and I'm about to release an episode talking about the Sunni-Shia split,
mm-hmm,
how it happened through history and how it's manifesting itself today. And so I was talking to someone about it, and they're just like, yeah, it's ridiculous that people are still fighting over that. Like, it's the most ridiculous thing to fight about. And I'm like, do you remember why we went into Iraq? Because no one does, and we killed a lot of people. Like, democracy? Oh, no, we tried to put in a dictatorship first. Weapons of mass destruction? Oh, no, there weren't any there. Oil? Oh, the Chinese got all the oil contracts. Like, I'm like, at least they had a reason to fight each other. What the heck were we doing?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's very true. And you know what? There's a great book. It's out of print, but it's still, you can find it, and I've got a copy. It's called Faces of the Enemy,
mm-hmm,
and it talks about propaganda and how we get people behind war,
mm-hmm,
to like really make monsters of, like, entire groups of people, and it's kind of disgusting, but it's also amazing.
Yeah.
All at the same time, it's like, wow, we do this, and it's so powerful. We see it. You, mm-hmm, see it every day right now, and I think that's good thing. I'll put a link to that book too.
All right.
Even though you could probably find it on eBay. I actually got a copy from Amazon, because Amazon has, like, the Amazon Marketplace, where other people who are selling it, like,
mm-hmm,
there's a lot of used bookstores out there who have copies of stuff like that. And so I looked. So it's a good book. It's an interesting read. Very, very good author who I've read in a lot of my men's studies stuff, which is not what you think. It's more like women's studies.
Sounds like a red pill type thing.
Yeah.
Like men's studies.
Men's studies is basically feminism for men, but it's not like men's opposite
men's
of
rights.
Feminism. It's not like men's rights. It's more like what men get out of feminism. That's really more what, because really honestly, feminism isn't really just about women, it's about everybody. So it's like, that's what men said. When I say it, at least, other people might say it, but when I say it, that's a little bit more. I forget what the author's name is right now, but it was, he was a really good, I think it was it, no, not Sam Harris, somebody else. There's a, he's got other good books too. But anyways, before we go, I want to talk about you about one other topic because we talked about it beforehand. The first time I had you on, you were new to Seattle. From New York.
Yes.
Now you've had time to be in Seattle. This show is called the Seattle After Party.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to find out how Seattle's treating you, what you think of it, like what you like about it, what you don't like about it, that kind of stuff.
Okay. Well, yeah. Seattle's treating me really well so far. I love it.
Ding. Seattle rocks.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, I own an apartment over in the International District, so you get all that cheap, good food over there.
Yes.
I love that. And
there's a lot of good food over there. They got some. Anyways.
But yeah, so I mean, it's pretty great so far. I haven't encountered this so much. I got my friend group, but a lot of new people who I talk to, say that there's a Seattle freeze, and I experienced that a little bit. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Okay. This is a thing I'll shake my head about. I don't believe... Other people really believe in the Seattle freeze. I don't believe it. And here's why. They act like it's a thing, and supposedly it's been a thing for a long time, but I think... It may be a thing, mm-hmm. but it's kind of gotten magnified by the fact that we have a lot of new people coming in, like an insane amount of new people coming to Seattle. Like the numbers are stupid. And when you have a lot of new people coming to town, they feel very uncomfortable. They have no network of people, you know? And so like, they're going to be very afraid. So they're not going to talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is a big part of what people experience now as the Seattle freeze. But when I was here in the 90s, like I went to school here in the 90s, which surprisingly 20 years ago, I say surprisingly because every time I think about it and do the math, I'm like, geez, it's been that long.
Yeah.
The community that was here, and granted, at the time I was in the music industry, the music community in the 90s in Seattle was amazing. It was such a good community. And that's part of what the Seattle After Party is trying to make
sure. Build a community.
And I think, you know, what I would say to the Seattle freeze is maybe it is a thing, but I don't think it has to be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're somebody who's new to Seattle, take a little risk.
Yeah.
Go see some local stuff. Make a friend. Listen to this podcast and find somebody that you like and make them your favorite band or artist or writer or game maker. I tell people about events. Get to know those people and you will find that there are some amazing people here in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason to be afraid of the people in Seattle because they're really great people here. And I think the great people are kind of getting crowded out by the new people who are afraid because they don't have anybody to talk to. So granted, I understand the fear, but you gotta like make some strategic risks, you know?
You're making a lot of eye contact with this portion. You're just looking right at me. You're yelling at me.
You're the only person. Everybody else is walking through slowly, mm-hmm. watching 10 minutes at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I can't make eye contact with them.
Yeah.
But no, I would really say that. I think, you know, take a little risk. Get to know some people. Come to the CSC Seattle show.
Yeah.
Hang out with the improvisers after a match. Talk to them about stuff.
Yeah.
That, you know, there are so many great people here in Seattle that make Seattle such a special city that I think that I hate the term the Seattle freeze for that reason.
Yeah.
So I totally disagree with the fact that it's a thing, but I can see why it's a thing.
Yeah.
You know, like I think there's something to... You got to put yourself out there a little mm-hmm. bit. I mean, I realize that some people are like, yeah, but in this city, people would just walk up to me. And it's like, Yeah, but everybody's new here.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a time when people would be more forthcoming, but now everybody here is new. Nobody here is a native. Mm-hmm. So it's like they're going to be more afraid. You know, I'm the only person around here who walks around in a shirt that says, "You're great."
Yeah.
People happy. So, you know, it's like,
yeah.
You know, so yeah, that's my story. But go on first. That was, yeah. You were pulling out like,
I know, this
Daryl's is Daryl's opinions this, here, like tonight.
Big day for you. This is like therapy. Yes. I should be.
Phew. It's free too. My therapy.
So how's your dad? No, I'm kidding.
So yeah, what, you know, I mean, obviously you've gotten to be on the Seattle After Party 3 times. So
yeah, that's an
good
honor.
But which
do
you
I get
vote
a jacket
for?
With two more?
I should start giving guests punch cards.
Yeah.
And like on the 10th time you get this. I don't have anything to give out is the problem. I should get something to give out. But maybe if people would visit patreon.com/DarylDucharme and I had enough patrons, mm-hmm. then I could do stuff.
Yeah.
Give people stuff like, hey, thanks for being a guest.
And I heard you about to plug it, but I'm going to beat you to the plug. Oh. There is I'm a political guy. I was saying this to your Patreon people. Mm-hmm. And there's a really important Seattle election coming up that everybody needs to vote for. And that is Seattle's Best Podcast. And you're up for Seattle's Best Podcast.
Yes.
So.
On the Seattle A-list. So you can go to best.cityvoter.com/best/Seattle and vote for the best local podcast of the Seattle After Party. Nice. Thanks for that plug there.
No problem. Yeah. Teamwork.
Yeah, teamwork.
Are you kidding?
One.
You gave me two. You gave me one that's blank and another blank that. Like, we got to alley-oop each other.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is what I'm all about. I'm all about everybody helping each other out. I'm like, when it comes to being creative and doing something interesting, like, that's what makes Seattle great. There's so much good energy here, and I want it to keep being that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I said, when it was the 90s and I was in the music business, the vibe, it was like the people, you know, and I was working in a music store, and the people would come in, and it was just such a good feeling. And the city had something that made it, like kind of vibrate almost of an energy, and I want that to continue. And the music industry is completely different than it was in the 90s, but the people are still here, like the kinds of people that make it up. I mean, we're sitting here in Fremont, which is just this kooky neighborhood in Seattle.
Yeah.
And it's a great neighborhood because of its kookiness.
And one of the great, I don't know that much about Fremont, like, mm-hmm. Apparently there are a lot of hidden gems, but this theater is definitely a hidden gem. Like, if you want to impress a date and really seem like you know your stuff, you know your area, take them to a CSZ show here. Yeah. I would definitely recommend it, because this is, like, it's in a safe place, but it's really tucked in the corner.
Yeah. I mean, we used to be in the same building. It's still the same building, but we used to have in the same building that was in the front of us like a thrift clothing store.
That's not there anymore?
No, they moved.
That was the last time I talked.
Yeah, it was here the last time. They actually moved, and now we are, as a theater, trying to get the rest of the space so that we can do other stuff. So we might have like a secondary part of the theater, mm-hmm. and some other stuff. So hopefully we can do more things at the same time. So more classes and more shows and stuff like that.
So I take that back. They're too mainstream.
Yeah. Don't go to Seattle. They're too mainstream. Yeah, be more punk rock. All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I grew up punk rock a little bit in Olympia. But anyways, all right, we have gone on for a long time, and I would like to wrap things up.
Can I wrap something up?
Wrap things up
with a question, kind
of? You can, exactly.
Yes. So before, when we were talking to his Patreon people, you said you had a really good a story about a fight outside of your apartment.
Oh, yeah.
I gotta hear what this is.
Oh, yeah. Okay, when I first moved to Seattle, I moved to the Cornelius Apartments, which are at 3rd and Blanchard. And it was Thanksgiving morning. This is why so this was all school sponsored housing for the Art Institute of Seattle. And Thanksgiving morning, drive by shooting.
Oh,
the whole
wow.
building calls 911. It's just like this huge thing. It's like 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, just mm-hmm. like crazy scary. And that was, you know, early on in my year, you know, Thanksgiving morning. I'd only been at school since September. So it was like, ugh. But then, like, also as the springtime comes and it gets warmer and people are walking earlier and stuff, there was both in the night and in the morning, and actually Jakiva still experiences this. She lives in a similar area, and like where people, they will have an argument while walking down the street, and you will just hear two people, like, and I swear it was the same people, like, every day. Just like, I swear it was a, maybe they were a couple, or because it was a guy and a girl, but they would walk for blocks and you'd hear them coming and arguing, blah, 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 like screaming at each other, not just like a nice logical argument, like screaming at back and forth, and then walking and you hear it come and then you hear it keep going down the street. Like, we were at Third and Blanchard and I swear they came up Third and went down like some sort of argument parade. It was just something, and it was like in the springtime, it was just a regular occurrence, and I swear it was the same people. Maybe they were just going to work and that's how they show each other they love each other, by arguing for blocks. So once again, this is what makes Seattle great. So all right, so is that any other question you wanted to wrap up, anything else you wanted to say before we wrap up here?
Well, just look at, go into YouTube, subscribe, and please give me some stars. Give me some stars on my podcast. Give me some likes on my YouTube videos. I have one guy.
One guy.
One guy has given me a review of my podcast so far. I've had over 4,000 downloads, 300 in Japan, all over the place. One guy has commented so far. Marketing intern somewhere. He apparently loves my stuff. Okay. Yeah, show me some love.
Show him some love. Listen to it. Give him stars. Give him reviews.
That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, that's all he has to say about that is rate, review, and subscribe to him on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and more while you're writing your reviews about the Seattle After Party. Okay, before we go, we would like to do our misattributed quotes. And you had told me in the behind the scenes that you already had one, so we will go for that.
I came prepared.
All right, so like, you won't need too much. I got some advertisements to remind people about before we go. So misattributed quotes. He's going to think about where it is on his phone to remind himself. But before, remember, you can visit us at patreon.com/DarylDucharme. That's DarylDucharme. You can follow us on Twitter at AfterPartyHosts, or you can follow me on Twitter at Diacra. Look at us on Facebook and Instagram. Just look up at Seattle After Party on Instagram or facebook.com/Seattle After Party. And once again, last but not least still, you can vote for us for the Seattle A-List Best Local Podcast at best.cityvoter.com/best/Seattle and look up the Best Local Podcasts. All right, Steven.
Okay.
Your misattributed quote.
So I have a very, very inspirational quote for this week. Follow your bliss, and the universe will open doors where there were only walls. And that was said by the Kool-Aid Man.
Oh, yeah. And I was just thinking of the quote, moni, moni, it can feel all right like a moni. And that was Donald Trump forgetting how to pronounce money. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Seattle After Party. I am Daryl Ducharme. I would like to wish you a good day. Make Seattle a great city. This has been Stephen Mackey. Make sure to visit his podcast and YouTube channel. That's all I have to say about that. And catch up on his interview with John Perkins coming this Thursday. See you later.
And that's all I have to say about that.